You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on Six Capitals, Six Points of View, in the second year of the Ukraine war, following the early information we have of a mutiny or coup, depending on your point of view, in Russia involving Prigozhin, the head of a private army, Putin, the head of a national army, and Kadyrov, the head of a private army from Chechnya, two warlords and the chief of the army, all staring at each other for hours. Now we're told there is apparently a deal. It's not a resolution. It's not an end. It's a deal. The headline in the London Telegraph, because this reporting has been thorough for the last 12 hours. Wagner mutineers turn back from Moscow after striking deal with Putin. Subhead, coup attempt, in quotes, came within 150 miles of the Russian capital before its abrupt halt after President dropped plan to ban the group, President Putin. There is also ahead a series of reports about what is going on now, but it turns on Lukashenko, the dictator of Belarus, arbitrating between Vladimir Putin, the president of the Russian Federation, and Prigozhin, the leader of the rebellion, the mutiny, the coup. There are many words. I'll turn to the professor because we need an historical background to understand how the Russian people are hearing this on their television or on Telegram. Vladimir Putin made a remarks 5 or 6 minutes early in the day. And in those remarks, he used a lot of weighted historical reference. Professor, a very good evening to you. Your thoughts before we go to the six capitals, your thoughts on the day's events. Thank you.
Well, thank you. The word mutiny, of course, is how we refer to a situation, say, on a British man of war, where the captain and his few officers who live up in the back of the ship, have no contact with the crew, have been whipping and flailing and lashing, as Churchill said, rum, sodomy, and the lash. It wasn't a very good life in the British Navy. And the people on the ship finally get so fed up that they just lunge and kill the officers. That's very different to a coup. Marx loves to talk about coups because he sees the economic system, in a sense, is linked directly to the ruling elite. So if you look at his discussion, for instance, of Napoleon III's seizure of power and how it was a repetition of Napoleon, the real Napoleon's seizure of power. So I think mutiny is a good word because it gets a sense that there are a few strong men and leaders and all the rest who are contending. It's not clear that any of them have substantial support. And as we look over Russian history, we find that there is a pattern. About every century, the Russian state either organizes itself or it reorganizes itself. And this is caused either, this comes in the wake either of a military defeat or of a succession struggle. So the question that we want to ask today is one that I've been sort of hammering at a bit for the last however long. This is a moment when I think we're going to see a reopening of the Russian debate about what's going to be the shape of the 21st century Russian state. And remembering that the 1991 constitutional democratic state is still on the books. Putin has been ruling despotically by cheating. the situation is not like that in China, where the despotic rule of the Communist Party is entrenched in the very structures of the state. Russia has state structures that were democratic, you know, allowing for all the wiggle room in dealing with Russia, and could be again. So the question that comes up with is leadership and followership. And I think that we have to ask for each of the players, and remember there are other players who appear that we haven't heard of, how wide is their support among the elite and how deep is it? And Prigozhin has 25,000 very skilled and very, very angry troops. And one picks up gossip, no more, in the press. For instance, that the Russian pilots who were told to fire on the Prigozhin troops, some of them won't fire on them. The marvelous invective, you see, what's going to happen is that all the dirty laundry of the Ukraine war is going to come out. My favorite piece of it is saying, look, this isn't a war about anything. It's about Shoigu. Shoigu wants to be a marshal. How do you become a marshal? You have to get two medals of hero of Russia. And he's got one as hero of Russia. And he thought that if a quick victory in Ukraine would get him two, and then he could be Marshal Shoigu. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's the kind of thing that circulates among populations who are denied access to the truth. And in today's situation, we're going to see, it's going to be interesting to see how much of the media open up. Is Mr. Navalny, who is the leader of the democratic movement in Russia and has been poisoned and is now in prison forever, is he going to come out? He has 8 million subscribers on YouTube. It's going to be very hard. Let's put it this way. Putin has pretty much spent his charisma. He is not going to emerge like Roosevelt for his third term. I believe that the Telegraph correspondent is correct. This is it. He's finished. He doesn't have what political scientists call the alignment potential, which being interpreted is people won't join with him because they don't trust him or what's going to happen. So we're going to see who is best able to find support among the angry Russian people, the Russian cannon fodder in the military, and these troops, the Russian official troops, have been genuinely oppressed and treated brutally. And I would note that Putin has done nothing to build any kind of a network of support. And with this as a background, when we see Prigozhin, who is no matinee idol, when we see him clumping around in his camouflage suit, greeting people and displaying an absolutely superb command of the most vulgar Russian speech, and vulgar Russian speech is really vulgar, I think people are going to resonate in a way to that. Say, yeah, he's goddamn right. We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. So I think Prigozhin is going to ring true. And the fact that Putin doesn't mention this, and he tried to preempt him, clearly, because he was worried about him, suggests that he does have strength. Now, the question is, just to wrap up, how does this get resolved? And if you look back through Russian history, there is either an agreement on a successor, as after the Decembrist movement in 1825, and then the exile of the progressive nobility to Siberia. Of course, their ideas came cycled back, or the smuta after the death of Ivan's brother, the bell ringer, Zvonar Fyodor, and who was very simple-minded. And they then had, from 1597 to 1613, they had nothing but meetings. And finally, it turned out that there was somebody named Michael Romanov, whom they could all agree on. And the fact that he was the nephew of the patriarch of all the Russias didn't hurt him at all. He came in 1613, and his people were in there until 1913. And basically, you can't conceive of a Russian czar who's not a Romanov. any more than you can conceive of a Japanese emperor who's not a descendant of the sun goddess. So I think that the detail we're going to have in the next weeks, a great deal of focus on detail, but we have to remember the context. Russia has grown in three waves. In the 1500s and 1600s, she went from being the Grand Duchy of Moscow to Kazan, which is in the Urals, and to Astrakhan, which is in the Caspian Sea, which is a tremendous expansion. Then in subsequent years, before the 19th century, she expanded steadily into Siberia. By 1625, she had gotten to the Pacific and to the Kamchatka Peninsula, which is the most strategic point in Russia. So, and each of these is marked by a kind of reorganization of the Russian government, which the elite sort of reconnects itself and reassorts itself. So that's what we should be looking for. Interesting, and as all of the gossip is going to be, and not to mention the detail, because this is like a, you know, it's like a baseball game. It does depend on who hits the most runs, and that's something that's not determined by dialectic materialism. That's unpredictable. But I think that we will probably see an attempt to cool things down, spread leadership around, bring in the people who are alienated now, and loosen up Putin's personal dictatorship. And this can be done simply by returning to the constitution that they now have. They have to make a few changes. Putin did some things to it. But anyway, not Putin, I'm sorry, Yeltsin did some things to it. But that's what I say. So I would say, look, it's what they call in Russian Zemsky Sabor, a meeting of all of the lands, all the people of the Russian lands. And they sort of talk it all through, and at the end of it, they get it settled. And that's, I think, we're going to start. It won't happen immediately, but they'll just start being meetings. And that's how it's done. So we should be aware of that. And we should have American experts who are absolutely fluent in Russian in these meetings. We had once long ago, we had a wonderful Japan linguist at the embassy in Tokyo, and he could actually go to the meetings of the Japanese elite, and he could figure out what the politics were. There's no other way to do it except to go down into these bars and get sloshed and listen to them all talk. But I don't think we have anybody in Moscow who can remotely do that, or for that matter, even in Tokyo. So keep in this time of focus on detail, let's keep our eyes on the larger trends.
Professor H.J. Macinder, International Relations, prologue to The Six Capitals. We go immediately to Moscow, where, because it's the middle of the night, the expectation in the morning is that there will be more clarity on this so-called deal. There are reports said to be validated that Prigozhin and the Wagner group around him have left Rostov. We can presume they're heading to Belarus. That's a long trip. What they'll do when they reach to Belarus is to be discovered. We go to Moscow next, watching Prigozhin, watching NATO, watching Ukraine, and especially watching Putin. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No